Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Daniel Draskinis. Daniel is the owner of Golden Nugget Ghee. Daniel, you kind of started this whole project down in Southern California. How did this come about? How did you start making ghee in the first place? And then how did you decide to make a business out of making ghee?
Actually, it goes back a few steps. I came to HSU and I got a master's degree here in sociology. And while I was in school, I was into endurance running. And I was training for this ultra marathon that was 50 miles. And I was trying to figure out this concoction of what I was going to use to fuel the race. I was using like a carb and sugar-based drink with coconut oil and blackstrap molasses. And I ended up using that for a race and crashed really hard. And I didn't understand why. And until I like looked into the research, I saw that fat is what we use mostly to fuel long distance events like ultra marathons, marathons. And that got me into fat. And so I started buying butter locally in Humboldt and looked up a few recipes. And I found ghee in just about everything that I was surrounding myself with.
So how did you make it the first time? Did you just buy some ghee the first time and then you started using it and you went, you know, I think I can make this stuff. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, I bought ghee at the store for the first time and I actually didn't like it that much. It didn't have much flavor. And once I finished the jar, I was like, okay, I wonder how this is made and wonder if I can make something better. And so I bought some butter, some Humboldt Creamery butter, and it was far better than what I was buying in the store.
Well, let's talk about the process for how you make ghee. Because, you know, I think some people have had it. Maybe they've had it in something they've had at a restaurant, but some people have never had it and really don't understand the process behind it. How do you make a batch of ghee?
It's actually fairly simple. You just warm butter on the stove and it'll separate the ghee and milk solids and you just scrape off the milk solids and you filter what's left through a cheesecloth.
Uh-huh. So it's like really clear looking by the time you've filtered out those solids.
It looks like gold water.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's clear and transparent. You can see to the bottom of your pan.
Uh-huh. And what's in those milk solids? What's the reason for taking those out?
That's the casein and lactose and whey. And casein has actually been shown to be inflammatory in the body. It can increase your triglyceride level. And it pretty much gets stuck in your body. Ghee is just pure fat and it just moves through your body really easily and your body can use it readily.
And the lactose, it seems like I have so many friends who are lactose intolerant. So this process also gets rid of the lactose out of the butter.
It does.
Yeah. So that seems like a real benefit for people who want to use butter, but you know, their bodies just can't tolerate it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There's still some trace amounts of dairy, but for most people, like I would say ghee is definitely okay.
Okay. So that's how you make it in a small batch on your stove. You've got this little pot and you put the butter in there and you've melted it and you've kind of scooped off with a scoop.
Right.
When you're making batches, when you're making it for your company, because you have these really nice jars that look really professional, nice professional label on it. Uh-huh. I'm sure you're making bigger batches than I would make at home. How big is a batch when you make it?
Each batch that we make is about 240 pounds.
Lordy, that's a lot of butter.
And we have 8 pots going at any one time.
Oh, okay. Okay, now I'm getting more sense of the size of the operation. And then how many batches do you make within a week, say?
We do 1 to 2 a week.
Okay, so several hundred pounds of butter that you're going through. And you're buying Humboldt Creamery butter. Is that a butter that you like for a particular reason? Does it make better ghee than maybe some other butters you've tried?
Yeah, actually, we're using Rumiano butter.
Oh, okay.
And Rumiano actually sells milk to Humboldt Creamery.
Okay, I got to say, I love Rumiano butter. I'm like a Rumiano butter eater. You know, that's just my favorite kind. It just, to me, it has the best flavor of any of the butters.
And when we open the box of butter, it actually smells like ice cream.
Yeah, I definitely get that. There's a sweetness to it. There's none of that like off rancidy sort of flavor that some butters can get.
Yeah.
I think it's a really great product to work with. So you're making these batches and people are eating it for a variety of reasons. I mean, some people are cooking with it, but some people are using it because they're on a particular health quest and people who are like ultra marathoners or, you know, using it and really having good results with it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's a whole spectrum of people that are finding benefit from using ghee in their lives, just from people wanting to add some extra flavor to a dish to people that are just so meticulous about what they're eating that this really connects with what they want to see in their lives.
Now, when I think about where ghee came from originally, I personally associate it with India.
Yeah.
A lot of Indian dishes. And I think the first time I made ghee, I was trying to follow a recipe. And it was, you know, many years ago in Humboldt County. I don't think you could have bought ghee back in those days. But that's where I think it. Are there other cultures that use ghee?
Yeah, there is. And it actually originates from India about 5,000 years ago. It's surprising to me that it's not more popular in the United States, I think because fat has been demonized and we kept getting, or at least in the past, we were told that fat is bad for us. But now the science is showing that fat is good for us. And it's actually surprising to me it isn't more mainstream because it actually is a great way to preserve milk and butter for long term. Like ghee can stay shelf stable for over 100 years.
That's amazing to me because butter does tend to get rancid. And so it's those other things that are in it that tend to go bad that get off flavors?
Yeah, it's the milk solids that go bad.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like you're saying, that's a great way to preserve butter. And if you're going to have butter, and especially in Humboldt County, I think of all the people who live in rural areas where you don't want to have to go into town to buy your groceries all the time. This might be a great way to have butter, you know, or have ghee on the shelf all the time to be able to have access to that.
Definitely.
Yeah, it keeps really well.
And it's a healthy alternative to butter because for people that are allergic to dairy, like 80% of people are allergic to dairy, it'll create some kind of inflammation in the body.
Yeah, some ways, you know, that we don't think of initially. Yeah, I think, you know, you have these reactions, but you don't really associate it with the dairy.
Right. Most people today are not connecting their food to how they're feeling on a day-to-day basis.
I see that in myself.
I think we're all guilty
like, really,
of that.
It can't be the sugar. Can it be the sugar? So ghee is a part of the paleo movement. And I've got to say, I don't really know much about the paleo movement. In my mind, I just think of somebody eating a big old piece of meat. I just really don't understand that. How does ghee fit into the paleo movement?
Paleo is returning back to how we were eating maybe 10,000 years ago. And it's a diet of mostly vegetables with some meat, almost zero to little grain.
Oh, okay. So that's the big thing about that that makes it really different is not as much grain in the diet.
Right. I like to think of it as vegan with a little bit of meat.
Okay. Like a condiment.
Exactly.
Well, this has been really interesting. I'm talking with Daniel Draskinis, and we're talking about golden nugget ghee. We're going to come back next week and talk a little bit more and see if we can get some more information about ghee.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.